up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too.
Next, we've got Peter. Pete, glad to have you with us.
Hey, I don't have a Wally t-shirt, but I got a shirt with my other favorite robots.
Yeah, sorry.
I did my Guardians of the Galaxy because it was like a spacey theme.
I did my Donald Duck because, trust me, there's lots of different emotions that come out of this face.
That's good. And
last but certainly not least, we've got Steve, who's
representing. Hey, everyone.
Or the traitor.
Yes.
Hey, at least
and Derek, Donald is number one, so.
He is, yes. Guys, if you haven't already, please like, subscribe, share. We got lots of fun shows coming up, and we want you to be a part of them. So make sure you never miss any of it. Now, this week, we are, I'm not going to say we're diving back into the vault, because 2008, I refuse to call the vault. I refuse to say my son was born when stuff was coming out of the vault. But we are watching Wall-E, the Pixar movie that everybody has at least done the Wall-E. Eva. Anyway. Eva. So, okay. I'm going to start with Pete on this one. Pete, what about this made you dance for joy?
Oh my gosh. I so love this movie. But what I'm going to say is my favorite thing about this movie is it is a masterclass in visual storytelling, because there's very little dialogue in this movie, almost none for the first half hour of the movie. And then you get to the characters on the ship. And yet, like 5 minutes into this movie, you already know like 700 years of Earth history without having to have a voiceover that said in, or a scroll that tells us all the history and everything like that. Everything is told visually, and animation is the medium to do that kind of visual storytelling. And this is not easy to do, and it's done so masterfully in this movie that it's a fantastic story. The story never sags. It's paced exactly right. It has a beginning, a middle, and end. It's just the story is told so well. And I mean, I could talk about the quality of the animation and the characters and how you get attached to them and everything like that. But like, that's what I'm going to hit on is like how genius they told this story. And I'm going to let Steve come up with some other things, because there's plenty more.
You said a lot. I loved that this was mainly told with like very minimal words, just visually stunning. I really liked, my favorite part was just the sort of the love story of between Eve and Wall-E. That was sort of my favorite part there. Interesting of the, I guess, how they used Hello Dolly. And then the more you listen to it, how that all sort of really ties in with the movie really well. I was reading that the director chose that because he played Barnaby in high school in the musical. And that's one of the reasons why he chose it. And it took a lot of work to get the rights with that, but it ended up working like really well.
Hey, did you also notice there were no scenes with Barbra Streisand in it, because they would have had to pay her lots of money.
Really? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I think it's just the visual. I remember watching it in the theaters. I think this is something to see it on the big screen was amazing. I remember the first time just seeing it and being like blown away by, because it wasn't this like Pixar's like third or fourth movie. I can't remember where it falls.
Oh, no. This is 2008.
Eight? Where was it? Where did it fall with their, within their, just curious.
I think it was right after Ratatouille and right before Up.
Okay.
They were definitely in a hot streak.
Okay. Like you definitely know where they've really got the computer animation.
Yeah, down. Number nine.
Okay. But I'm thinking from Toy Story and being blown away by that at the time to this, it's just visually stunning.
Yeah. To me, I guess the first part is I equate Wally to Buster Keaton. Where it, okay, Kate, Buster Keaton.
Nerd.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, the physical comedy, the inside jokes as far as like him seeing the engagement ring, he throws the ring away because he likes the box. The other robots on the ship, I know it's a throwaway character in this, but the one that was outside welding, they actually did a Pixar short featuring him that came out before a different movie. I don't remember which one it was before, but it's hilarious. How Wally seems to win over whoever he is in front of. Just his innocence is so great. I like movies where I don't have to pay attention to a lot of dialogue, to be perfectly honest. Where the dialogue, and there's little enough dialogue that whatever dialogue is important. So as opposed to just ones that are just the mouth marble ones that is just like Hamilton. The first time I watched it was hard to watch just until I turned on the subtitles.
Put it on the subtitles.
Mm. Yeah. Then by about the second or third time through, okay, my brain finally caught up with it and I don't have to have the subtitles anymore. I will admit, I did not see this in the movie theaters because, as I said, I had a brand new baby. So going to the movie theaters was not a priority for me. So I did not get the privilege of seeing this on the big screen. Was it a Thanksgiving come out or was it a summer come out?
I don't remember, but I was just looking at it. Hold on.
I actually don't remember
June 2008.
June 2008. So my wife would have been 9 months pregnant. So yeah, I didn't go see this. So, I love honestly and this will get into a question we have a little bit later, but I love the Rich Little cameo as the by and large.
That's not Rich Little. It's, no. Crap. He just died.
Fred Willard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I've met Fred Willard. He was really nice.
Oh my gosh. I've never been more jealous of you, Kate.
Oh, I have. But anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Some of the stuff. Yeah. Anyway, but, so yeah, I mean, this movie is a lot of fun. Kate, anything else that, we haven't mentioned that you loved?
So I loved, just reiterating the fact that you can make me feel all of the emotions within an inanimate object and several inanimate objects, and that there really isn't any dialogue, and yet you somehow fall in love with this little robot. It's just brilliant. I really liked how they had the videos from Earth before, where Fred Willard was, that they had real people. And that it wasn't cartoon. I loved that. I thought that was a choice and I liked that choice. This movie had the potential to be very sad. And I think this could have been very sad, but it had a very uplifting, hopeful-ish ending. I really like this movie. I love that they used Hello Dolly. It reminds me of the old trolley show at the Magic Kingdom. I love that they used the Louis Armstrong singing La Vie en Rose. This is great. What do you go, Pete?
Yeah, I went first, but I did want to make two other comments. When I saw this in the theater, the end where like she fixes Wally, and spoiler alert for anyone listening, if you haven't seen this movie, turn this off, go see this movie. She repairs Wally, and then he's like, he doesn't remember anything there for a second. And like, I was like flat out crying in the theater and like in my head going, Pixar, you bastards, you can't do this. You know, and then it ended up he was okay. But like, oh my gosh, that was like, and I, you know, watching it now, it doesn't hit me like that, but like such a brilliant, you know, emotional manipulation that they did there, that, you know, you didn't really see that coming, in my view. And then that's the main thing I wanted to say, just that ending, and then the way they use the credits to show like the rebirth of Earth and everything like that, so that they again don't have to get into that story, but if you watch the end credits roll, you see all this stuff, and they use a bunch of different art styles in that and everything like that. It's just like beginning to end, oh my god, this movie is so brilliant.
And then if you're a part of it, it fits into the whole unified Pixar theory where it then rolls into Bug's Life.
Yeah, that's crap, but okay.
I know, yeah, but anyway.
So. Well, you do see the you do see somewhere in there is the Toy Story
Pizza Planet truck. Yeah,
Pizza Planet, yes. Truck, yeah. Now that's how you do a
throwback. Yes.
And that's what I was about to say, was throwbacks in situations with Pixar do not bother me like they did in Wish, in the movie Wish.
A few of them.
Yeah, well,
true, and they're so, but they're also, it's also just not so in your face. Like, it's the Pizza Planet truck. It's not like Woody was hanging. You know what I mean? Like,
right. It's the Pizza Planet truck, and it's John Ratzenberger. Those were the two that, and it's starting to be Bonnie Hunt, but
yeah.
Well, this one really used the A113.
Yes.
which is that's the Cal Arts classroom. So every Pixar movie has somewhere in it A113.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
And in this one, it was right out front. It was the the protocol for the returning to Earth. So
fascinating.
But it's usually a lot subtler, but even that, I did not mind it, because again, it didn't pull me out of the movie.
Hey, you! Wow. Okay, we've got to give this girl some culture.
Yeah, that's what I need.
Yeah, well, you're not drinking, so you know. Okay, Steve, I want to let you start this next one. No movie is perfect, and I would argue even my most dearly held movies are not perfect. What about this should have been trash compacted?
Okay, Kate sort of brought it up. It's the when you had videos of live humans at the beginning of the movie, and then they hit the spaceship and they're cartoon characters. When I remember I first saw it, and I saw it here, it really rubs me. It's sort of that clash in my mind of such a huge difference of, and I don't know which way I would go. I mean, that really bothered me. I also felt like when you had this visual star and you hit the ship, it sort of turned into more cartoony, where before with Wall-E on Earth was still animated, but it's sort of like a different, slightly different sort of style of animation. Right. And then it definitely has a message, and it slaps you across the face with the message, maybe a little bit too much. I mean, those are really getting into nitpicky things, but those are the things that sort of stand out for me.
We're not going to say it's Walmart, but it's Walmart.
Yeah, it wasn't subtle, was it?
No. For me, while I enjoyed the scene at the beginning, and then some of the scenes on the ship, it just, if they could have cut 5 minutes of it somewhere, I honestly think would have helped tighten this movie up just a little bit. And you're going to ask me where, and it would be 30 seconds here and 30 seconds there. One joke from this shot, one joke from this shot. But that's one thing, is it's just watching this movie. And yes, it's short. I understand it is not a long movie. It's an hour and a half. But I remember thinking then, and I remember thinking now when I watched it again today, it needed to, it could have tightened up just a little bit. To me, the part that could have tightened up was probably when they get back to the ship and just the amount of time it takes them to get up to the captain. That part went on a little long. But I mean, for the most part, yeah, for most part of that movie, as I said, you know, the sadness at the end, it's just one of those, hey, as you said, curse you, John, it's Czar, because it's one of those, you have to tear up, especially the first time you see it. I cry at movies. I cry at movies a lot, especially usually Disney movies. The first time I see them, I get, you know, I cry at Disney movies. Okay, sure. But once you know what's going to happen, that's they had the drama there at the end, and it took a little bit too long. The scene with them sliding down and staying down and staying down and staying down. Again, you cut 15 seconds out of that. I think it makes it just a little bit tighter. So, and again, I'm nitpicking here, but these are my, Kate, how about you?
Derek took mine. I don't know what I would cut. But I would just tighten it up a ton, even though it's not very long. There isn't really a point in the movie where, like, oh man, what time is it? How long have we been watching this? There was never a point of that. But I think there's a very, very delicate balance when you have inanimate objects that aren't speaking, really, there's a delicate balance in time. There's a delicate balance in communication with your audience. And while I think that they mastered it pretty gosh darn well, I think Derek is right. There are parts that I would just tighten up a little bit, because this is a really good movie. I like Toy Story better.
Yes.
In the Pixar world, Toy Story I would watch every single time.
There's honestly several I'd watch before this, but
this is up there. I wish that I could remember when I watched this movie for the first time, and if I was like going through something in my life, because I remember not caring for this movie, and I think it made me sad. But then what? So I was real nervous to rewatch this movie for this, because I was like, I feel like I didn't like this movie. I feel like I didn't like it. But I did. I did enjoy it. So I don't know. I guess the biggest thing I would say is just cutting out, like, there's a couple spots that drag just a tiny bit, but and maybe make it, in my opinion, like a little bit more clear. I'll be honest, Confused Kate came out just a tiny bit, just a little bit, with like why they couldn't go back to Earth. Like why they did the destruct thing. I was just a little bit confused. But and so I kind of wish.
Eventually, right?
Sure.
Okay. So basically.
Otto was ordered.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Pete. Otto was instructed by the by and large boss to never let the ship go back to Earth. So that's why he was trying to stop things.
But why? Because why should they never go back to
2110 or whatever it is? I still think it should have been in the year 2319. But in 2110 or whatever, 700 years before, they could not get the Earth clean enough. So it was like they had completely trashed the environment totally. So it was, these people can never return.
Yeah, they're basically like, Earth will never be livable again. Earth
will never recover.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm going to, please don't hate on me too hard. But you all were just talking to Steve about it was smack you in the face. Like, it wasn't subtle. What are you all talking about?
Environmental message.
Copy. Okay, that's what I thought you meant, yeah. But I wanted to make sure I was, yeah. Okay, that's what I thought you meant. But I was like, I want to make sure that I'm not picking up on something different here. So anyway, it's not a lot. I would probably maybe rank this in my top 10 Pixar, but it wouldn't probably make my top 5. Go ahead, Pete.
You're all wrong. This movie's pretty. No. So I think you're all saying the same thing that I think, which is the weakness of this movie is the first part of it is so perfect. And the second part of it, while great, is not perfect.
Yes.
So you get to that second part and you see things that are, I totally agree with what Steve said. The movie becomes much more cartoony in that second half with the people. And I get what they were trying to do by having real people. And then you have these people that over 700 years of not ever moving became blobs. So now they have to be animated. You can't use real people for that. But in the end, it looks cartoony. You know, as I said, I got what they were trying to do, but it didn't 100% work. So yeah, I'm with you. First third of this movie is just about as perfect a movie as you can make. The last two thirds have a little bit of squishiness in there that, as you say, story could be tightened up a little bit or something. I agree with you. There's like something that it's just not quite as good as the first part. Yeah. And that doesn't mean it's not an awesome movie, but yeah, there's something there that loses when we bring human, like maybe like they never should have brought human characters, like just have them in the background on the ship and just have the robots being the main characters as opposed to bringing in.
But I think that was so powerful to have them have like the captain look at all these things about hoedowns and grass and everything. And like, right. I didn't even know there was a jogging track on this thing. I didn't know there was a pool and everybody is so big and doesn't have bones essentially that they can't. I thought that was pretty powerful, but I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So. Now I'm going to explain the spirit of this question before I ask this question. Spirit of this question is going to be when Aladdin came out, all of the Robin Williams references were spot on. Everyone knew who he was talking about. Everyone knew who the impressions were. Okay. Most people knew who all the impressions were. I'm honestly not sure you were born yet when Aladdin came out. Were you? I think it came
out. I was born in 88.
Okay, so you were like 3, so you wouldn't have known. So,
I would not have known all of his then. I know what all of his references are now, but I didn't know then.
But if you show Aladdin to someone today, they think it's funny, but they don't get all the references. Right. And we had argued how of that Renaissance, we all kind of put most of us put Aladdin near the bottom, mainly because it's getting outdated. The references are getting outdated if you don't remember who all those people are. So in that spirit, does WALL-E run the risk of becoming outdated like Aladdin did? With its different, and if you need me to give some examples, I can give some examples. The biggest one is, okay, so I mean, Kate, what are you thinking, or do you need an example of something that might help it become outdated?
Are you talking about like Hello Dolly?
That's a big one.
What's another?
Things along the lines of some of the stuff on Earth that he finds that people may not know anything like. In so many years, who has a metal trash can lid anymore? I mean, but the iPod, when he's looking at it on the iPod, how many people and it's just things like that, I mean, I haven't heard the whole Twinkies never die joke in a while. That was what made it funny when that was what he fed the cockroach. So
Twinkies and cockroaches will survive a
Armageddon. Wasn't that big of a Twinkie. So I had to put it in there.
Tell them about the Twinkie.
Yeah. What about the, anyway. So Kate, what are your thoughts on this?
I don't think. I actually had a moment when the iPod showed up and then I was like, I had that iPod when I was in high school.
In 30 years, would people know why that's funny?
Sure. I don't think the references in Aladdin are so in your face, like when he turns into Jack Nicholson. Like there, it's just so in your face. I don't think the references are so in your face in this movie. Hello Dolly. I couldn't remember. When it was playing, I was like, is this Hello Dolly or Music Man? Like, is this from Hello Dolly or Music Man? I couldn't remember because I haven't seen either of those shows in a really long time. But I couldn't remember which one because they're very, very, very similar sounds.
They are.
So, but I don't think it matters because that could have been a fake movie. That could have been a completely made up movie that's showing those scenes that are showing, kind of like in Home Alone when the movie that he plays, the Merry Christmas, Filthy Animals or whatever. Yeah. That's a fake movie. So I don't think it matters. I don't think it's going to matter for this. I think it's going to stay. I think this movie will hold up. What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, I completely agree. Watch this with my wife and she doesn't have the best memory for movies, at least as much as I do. And, so she remembered the movie, but a lot of it, she didn't remember. And she kept saying, it's like, oh my God, this is our future. You know, is this our future? So to me, I think the main themes of overpopulation, too much garbage, big corporations taking over the world, I think all those things still hold up and will likely continue to hold up for some time. I'd love it if it didn't someday, but I think that works. I think like the Hello Dolly stuff, it, like, kids in 2008 did not know who Hello Dolly was. I don't think those things matter that much. Yeah, there's a couple of things like the iPod, but you know, again, that's just a joke that might not work as well. I think most of the things like the paddle ball, I think those are like universal kind of things that, you know, I had grown up and my daughter had grown up and her kids are going to have those grown up. So there's a few references that might outdate, but I think the movie as a whole will hold up for a long time. And I think we'll be lucky if this isn't our future. So, yeah. What about you, Steve?
I agree with you and Kate both. I feel like there's a few maybe archaic things in 30 years that people won't know what it is, but there's enough things there that people pick up on it. Like you said, if they don't know Hello Dolly, they'll just assume it's a made up show. But I think the message, I think even more hits more home now than it did in 2008 of just thinking of the amount of consumerism and how people are glued to their screens. I think I look at my students more like, oh my gosh, how many people are glued to their screens when they're out and not really like partaking. Like when I'm in the parks, like put down your phone, take a look, take a look around you. So
that definitely hit harder than when the movie came out.
Yeah.
100%. Because we had phones in 2008, but people were not living on their phones. Yeah.
Right. Completely different.
Yeah. Derek, do you have anything to add?
I think it's gonna wear a little bit harder than you guys think it might. I think there are, and it may just be some of the deeper references that might not get caught, like the fact that the autopilot's eye looked exactly like Hal in 2001 A Space Odyssey. And then when they use the Spark Zarathustra theme for him standing up, like the monkeys did to overcome that.
Yeah.
I think in 20 years may not resonate as more. I think the Hello Dolly was done more for the parents / grandparents when this came out. And because, I mean, my son's never seen Hello Dolly. I've only truly know most of Hello Dolly just because it was one of my mother's favorite movies. But I think the physical comedy can be timeless with that. I think as things go on, some, like, to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure, you know, will the spork joke work in 30 years? Mm. I mean, it's those kind of little things that were designed to put in there for laugh out loud chuckles that I'm not sure will carry over. Will it be as outdated and as not as good as Aladdin has become? No. But I think that there is some of it that will make it in another 20, 30 years, not look as great. And I actually did look up when this came out. This literally came out the day after my son was born. So no, I can guarantee I did not see this in the movie.
Oh, Derek, you're not dedicated enough. We went and saw, our daughter was born like the week before Finding Nemo came out, and we saw Finding Nemo in the theater. So
you're not dedicated enough.
we won't get into that. So that's okay. My mother likes to tell the story of how when she was on the way to the hospital in labor with me, she stopped and voted.
Atta girl.
And I do have to say, watching the beginning of Finding Nemo when your first child has just been born is completely wrecks you.
Especially with hormones that have been going. Yeah.
Gut-wrenching.
So.
Nope.
Okay. As we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5 on this. Kate, I'm going to give you the first shot at this.
I'll give it a solid 4.
Okay.
I got to give it a 5. I love this.
Wow.
I got to give it a 5. I can't help it. Are there better? Well, I gave Toy Story a 5. Is Toy Story is probably a more rewatchable movie, but I wouldn't call it better. I love this movie. I could watch this over and over. The run that they had of Incredibles, Cars was next, which I don't put up there as high, but Incredibles, Ratatouille, this, and Up is just an amazing run of movies that, you know, none of those are less than 4 stars. And this movie's so good. It's so good. So sorry, I got to give it 5.
You don't have to apologize.
Oh, don't be sorry.
I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
I'm giving it 4.5 and just relief just for those nitpicky things that I talked about earlier. But I'm giving it a strong 4.5.
And I will admit, I would give the first 30 minutes of this movie a different rating than the last hour of this movie.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Actually, I would give the outside 45 minutes a different rating than the inside 45 minutes. It may have some recency bias based on some of the stuff we've watched recently, but I'm going to go a 4 on this, honestly. If it's on, I probably won't turn it off. But is it I go seek it out? I will be honest. This is probably one I revisit later and bump down to a 3.5. But for right now, it's better than some of the stuff. I will watch it before some of the stuff that's been on at 3.5 lately. So I gotta go 4. So yeah, I mean, guys, it's a good movie. Is it the best thing Pixar ever made? I think we would all agree, probably not.
Yeah,
but it's a good movie. It's worth watching. So, and it's kind of refreshing to have those once in a while. So, guys, in the interest of full disclosure, we pre-taped this episode many weeks ago, so there is no Disney Plus news. Don't know what you're going to be watching next week. So
dealer's choice. It's a surprise.
It will be a surprise. So keep an eye out on our page or just look at it when the next episode drops and you'll find out what we're watching.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, if you do have suggestions, please do email us at plusfortune@gmail.com. We're always taking suggestions. If you have something you want us to watch, message us, do anything, get a hold of us somehow. We want to know you're out there. We want to watch what If there's something you want us to watch that you don't really want to watch, let us know, and we can sometimes take those bullets for people. So we've got new episodes every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Jean in the background, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.